Ask the average person what's wrong with Congress and you'll get a lot of answers. But one big problem with Congress is mostly invisible to people who don't work on Capitol Hill. And that's the sorry state of its information technology. And it's not because of a lack of spending on IT. This is all according to a study done by the OpenGov Foundation. Joining me in studio with more as part of a three-day series on modernizing the Congress, Executive Director Seamus Craft. Seamus, good to have you on.
Great to be here, Tom. Thanks for covering this important issue.
So is the problem old IT, for example? Are they still running Windows 95 all over Capitol Hill, or is it deeper than that?
It's far deeper than that. I think lost in the partisan fighting on Capitol Hill, lost in efforts to solve some of our nation's greatest challenges, is how important this institution is. Technology has become the critical infrastructure of our daily lives, of our social lives, of our educational lives. It hasn't come to government yet, and that's not anybody's fault. This has been a problem that's been growing for two decades. And I think if you look at the other end of the Pennsylvania Avenue, they had a real wake-up call with healthcare.gov, and former President Obama was able to really focus on the critical infrastructure of the executive branch. Congress has been in a slow-motion healthcare.gov crisis for decades. And Kathy McMorris Rodgers, who's the number three Republican in the House, says it best. She says, what we're seeing is a 19th century institution often using 20th century technology to respond to 21st century problems. We need to change that. And all you have to do is look outside. If you've ever tried to write to your member of Congress and not gotten a response, how does that feel? That's the problem in a nutshell.
Now, they've got a couple of issues. One is the volume of incoming email that you have written about, and I guess we can talk about that. And the other is the legislative creation and writing. That's very frustrating. I mean, as a journalist, I try to read what's going on in Congress, and it's just a horrible state. 10,000 pages of PDFs put out every month that you can't search, can't find anything, never mind the language, but at least if you could search it for keywords. So let's talk about the technology supplied to the Hill staff, where a lot of the work is done first. And one of the issues you cite is the overwhelming amount of email, often organized groups sending mass batches of emails.
Well, I think that's at the heart of the problem. Congress is a paper-based institution that, with duct tape, with matchsticks, still functions by and large. But outside of the institution, communications technology has massively upticked, and that just hasn't happened on the inside. You know, I'm a former congressional staffer. I spent 4 years working on the House Oversight Committee. I came to Washington to work on issues. I didn't come to Washington to get paper cuts and have limited choice and options when it comes to how I serve my constituents. You know, I think if we look at Congress as it is, which is the first branch of government, it has a sacred trust to represent our views as the public inside of government. I want it to have the best darn collaboration tools. I want to have it the best information access to solve really complex challenges. It doesn't have that right now. And what that does to people who work there is unimaginably difficult. You come with energy, you come with a spirit of public service, and then you're thrown into an institution that bears more resemblance to the 20th century when we had phones than the internet age. That's a massive problem. And until we fix that, I don't think we have the ability to expect better outcomes from the institution. You know, 20% of the public, give or take, approves of what Congress is doing. Do I think better technology is going to turn that around overnight? Absolutely not. But it is going to create the capacity and the space to come together and solve some real big things.
But the internet is what brings the mail volume, 548% up in the last few years, to Congress. So they do have the internet, but it's not working for them. It seems to be stopping them.
Exactly. The Congressional Management Foundation has done some excellent research that you cited here. You know, over the last few years, emails come up to the institution, constituent communications has increased almost 600%. Yet, at least on the House side, they've been cutting their budgets, you know, 20% in real dollars over the last 4 or 5 years. That's a vice grip. You know, that's stuck between a rock and a hard place. But I think the most important thing for your listeners to understand is that solutions are all around us.
What do they need to do to change this picture that they're overwhelmed with email coming in and don't have what they need to understand what's going on and to collaborate outside of the email question?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is take stock of what the institution is supposed to be doing. If we really care for a Congress that works, we need to invest in it. The second is members need to pay attention to what their staff are telling them. One of the coolest people that I've met this past couple of years on the Hill is the head of the Professional Managers Association, which staff assistants, administrative assistants on the Hill. The first time I sat down with her, She gave me a punch list of about a dozen things, from modern compliance software to better scheduling tools that would overnight transform the citizen experience when they're contacting Congress, when they're visiting Congress, but also transform the life of those who work there day to day.
And there must be tools that can analyze the incoming communication such that they can get a real picture of what's going on, so that if someone has a thoughtful essay that they've sent a member of Congress on a particular topic versus 500 emails against on the other side, so that's really one-to-one in some sense.
Well, and that's the tragedy. We're leaving not just a citizen's fundamental First Amendment right to petition their government on the floor. We're leaving virtually limitless knowledge that can be brought to bear on building better policy outcomes in Congress. That's actually how we got our start at the OpenGov Foundation. A few years ago, we were taking a stand against a bill called the Stop Online Piracy Act, which we felt would have internet-harming effects. Well, we stayed up for 3 days. We invested about $10,000 of my co-founder's money, Congressman Darrell Issa, into building a piece of software called Madison. What did it do? It simply opened up the hearing process to public comment that radically enhanced our ability to legislate. And we were able to get 160,000 people in the room, digitally speaking, for a hearing. That's unbelievable. There was so much knowledge, so much energy, so much fact-based initiative brought to bear on building a better policy outcome with $10,000 worth of technology. You know, I think if you have a $4 billion legislative branch budget, you can find 0.1%, which would be about $4 million, to really double down and invest in the institution's infrastructure. And I think that there's a beautiful model that everybody should look at. It's a really untold story of transformative government improvement called the Bulk Legislative Data Task Force, started under John Boehner, who is himself not a technologist, encouraged by leaders of both party. Kevin McCarthy came together, Darrell Issa came together, Steny Hoyer came together, and they invested in transforming the central function of Congress, right, legislating, from a paper-based system to an open data modern one. It can be done. It's just a question of attention and a political will.
We're speaking with Seamus Kraft, the executive director of the OpenGov Foundation. And on the legislative creation side itself, what are some technologies they need to invest in there? Because, again, we have, well, the Affordable Care Act, every year the National Defense Authorization Act, 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 pages of PDF that's out there.
I think that's important to remember. Right. Elections do have consequences, but the things that can affect our lives, our families, and our businesses happen between elections, and they mostly start and finish in Congress. What Congress has done over the last couple of years, investing in its own legislative system, is a tremendous example that I think should be followed across the institution. Members of both parties in the House, more or less, came together and said, we can do better with how we write, how we publish legislative information. And in a couple of years, with a couple million dollars investment, you went from a 19th century legislative system to a lean, mean 21st century digital one. It can be done. But what that took was member attention. Now, we're not talking about putting aside healthcare.gov. We're not talking about putting aside what a just tax rate is. Those are really important things. But we do need 5 minutes of your member attention to invest on how you actually get that job done. You know, it amazes me sometimes. You see members of Congress going out and visit Facebook and Google and Twitter, or even looking at their own campaign infrastructure where they're driving Ferraris, right? Internet age Ferraris.
Sure.
And you come back to the institution and you're dealing with paper. I think that's a massive gap of expectations. And I think that's an exciting problem to work on.
So I guess the basic two problems then, to summarize this, is the desktop technology available to staff and to members to do their daily work of collaboration. And then there's the legislation creation side. Anything else that they need to work on? That seems like the two basic issues for the Hill.
Well, I think it's a stem-to-stern retrofit of the institution, which is what we're talking about, which is scary. And I think if you want to talk about why this hasn't happened, that's a big part of it. Where do you start? One of the analyses we did.
I mean, it's a hidebound place.
It is a hidebound place. You know, one of the analyses that we did, where we tried to start to say, hey, listen, it's nobody's fault. Everybody does have a responsibility to fix it, but let's do that with data. So we asked a very, very basic question. How does Congress spend its money on technology, data, and digital infrastructure? And we went down a really deep rabbit hole. We had to deal with paper, then we had to deal with Excel, and we had to do all of this data manipulation. But then it begged the question, well, geez, you know, I thought about my eighth grade algebra teacher. She said, you know, crap in, crap out. We went and we looked at how staff actually...
That's how she put it, huh?
That's how she put it. You know, we went and we looked at how staff actually put this stuff in. This is an accounting system called the Congressional Accounting and Personnel System, which we're talking paper-based receipts, right? We're talking about printing things out, handwritten notes. That's oversight, right? That's internal compliance, but that needs a major overhaul, or else you're going to get things like, I don't know, a member of Congress who's using taxpayer money to decorate their office like some Edwardian Victorian house. I mean, that is a basic oversight and control function that we can digitize and automate overnight that has enormous benefits to not just the taxpayer, but to those who work there every day.
Seamus Kraft is Executive Director of the OpenGov Foundation. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll post a link to his blog and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.